Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. Winnipeg Jets falling to the Tampa Bay Lightning by a score of 4-2 tonight, Richard, in a game in which I thought for the first 20 or so minutes, the Winnipeg Jets were actually the better of two teams. They trailed 1-0 after the first period, but it was just the opportunities that Tampa Bay got, they capitalized on. The Winnipeg Jets could not beat Ben Bishop when it mattered most, and as a result, they fall 4-2 to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know, Drew, I thought the Jets played pretty well for the most part. I agree that kind of that second half of the game when Tampa Bay got those two goals late in the second, the game was kind of over then. But yeah, the Jets played really well in the first half of the game. They created opportunities. They skated pretty hard. I just think that skill level wise, they're just not the same. That's not the same as Tampa. And so Tampa looked impressive today. Skated well, moved the puck really well. Things the Jets generally can't do. There's a lot of red flags in the game tonight. I mean, for all the, I think there's some good things, but there's a lot of red flags here. The same problems.
Sure.
You're not getting everybody on board at the same time. I think it's a little more physical than usual tonight, but still not physical enough. And poor decision making and just fundamental hockey stuff. They're just not playing well right now. And there's a lot of work to do here. I don't know what. I mean, it's 2-5, and it's a long season. But this season's going to be a write-off pretty quickly if they don't get it turned around.
And we'll talk about the goals, you know, goal by goal in a couple of minutes. What did you think of Tampa? They're sort of a trendy pick out of the East to represent the East in the Stanley Cup Finals. Not playing with a full lineup tonight. Obviously, Ryan Callahan out of the lineup, Victor Hedman out of the lineup. You know, what did you think of their game?
Really, really impressive, I thought. Now, again, when they're playing against the Jets team that had shots granted, but is not going to get sustained quality chance pressure for the most part, although they had a bunch of chances tonight. I do worry a little bit about their defense. I've said that before, but that's nitpicking. They were very impressive today. They played a fast game. They played a skilled game. They played very cohesive in terms of, you know, supporting the puck. Bishop looked really good, I thought. You know, one strike attack with Stamkos, but they got a lot of other skilled players on this team. So I came away very impressed. You know, I have them being a quality team this year. I know Ezzie took them to go to the final, and the East is wide open, and they're certainly just as good of a candidate as anybody else right now.
Steven Stamkos opened the scoring at 4:41 of the first period. The only goal he would get tonight, the only point he would get tonight. His sixth of the year, assisted Jonathan Drouin and Valtteri Filppula. Drouin and Stamkos, it's a combination you're going to hear a lot about over the next, Tampa Bay fans hope, at least a decade. Stamkos, of course, becomes an unrestricted free agent in a couple years. But it was a pass from Drouin to Stamkos after Grant Clipsom gets burned at the blue line.
Well, that's what it is, Drew. I mean, the puck gets swung around the boards in the offensive zone. Clipsom is the left side guy, but is on the right side there, pinches in and gets beat. And you're going to pinch in and try and keep that puck. If you're going to keep that puck in, if you're not going to back up, you better keep the puck in. He didn't. And then Drouin makes the pass to Stamkos. Stamkos, just a terrific player. I mean, makes the pass back to Drouin. And then and Clipsom's chasing the whole time. Drouin goes backhand to Stamkos. Bogosian is, you know, lets the pass get through, but it's not Bogosian's fault here. Clipsom, not only does he not get to keep the puck in, but when he comes back checking, I thought he could have done more to Stamkos. Could have taken the penalty, broken the stick, should have done something. And I thought that was a poor performance. And just obviously great skill play, beautiful. You know, every goal we're going to talk about it. Every goal tonight was a one-timer, and we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. Every goal was a one-timer, and that was the first one.
Yeah.
Pass across the crease, two really skilled players, and didn't take the back door away.
As I said, it was 1-0 for the Lightning at the end of the first period. A first period that the Jets had a number of good quality scoring chances, more scoring chances, of course, than Tampa Bay had. Yeah. They outshot Tampa Bay in the first period and probably controlled the majority of the play. Again, Ben Bishop making the saves when he needed to.
Yeah, and 5-on-3.
Yeah, there was a 5-on-3.
That they wasted.
Jets had a 5-on-3 power
play. And I didn't love their...
For about a minute and 20 seconds or so, a long 5-on-3,
they lost
and they couldn't capitalize.
A couple face-offs they lost. But, you know, also, Drew, the setup is odd. They got Blake Wheeler on the right point. I just don't know why in the right point. What's he going to do in the right point? I know he had some shots, but they weren't that dangerous scoring chances. Like, why is Blake Wheeler... I know Enstrom, they worry about the shot, not having a great shot. And that's a problem that they have, is they don't really have a big lefty shot. But is that where Blake Wheeler's going to be most valuable? I'm not sure if they've been practicing the 5-on-3, because God knows they got a lot more problems. But that was an odd alignment to me. And they had some chances there. But the setup was a strategically I didn't get it really.
Tampa Bay made it 2-0 at 4:45 of the second period. Jonathan Drouin gets his first NHL goal. Assist to Nikita Kucherov and to Tyler Johnson. Kucherov from behind the net passes it out to Drouin. Drouin makes no mistake again. Like you said, a one-timer. All four of Tampa's goals were on one-timers tonight.
It's kind of a not necessarily confusing play. You see the guys man up in their own zone. Stewart takes the guy, and Stewart doesn't. The Jets don't use a strategy of following the guy behind the net, which is common. So Stewart has, you know, kind of sits on the post and takes this guy behind the net, who is Kucherov. Tyler Johnson is cutting into the crease, so Jacob Trouba takes him. And then what happens is Kucherov kind of fakes passing to Johnson, so Trouba kind of bites, and Trouba kind of bites to the same side as Stewart, but Trouba still has his guy. So maybe you want Trouba to move over because the defensemen are too close there, but he still has his guy, which is Johnson, and he's taking away that pass. And Kucherov's behind the net, and he's not a scoring threat. It's Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry hits, and he's a center, and he had two gaffes tonight. Young center is going to have mistakes, though, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, learning curve is to be expected.
He hits Drouin on the boards and then just kind of lets him go. And Drouin just goes to the net, and Lowry's just kind of floating around, and Drouin goes and scores.
Yeah.
And so I Frolik was lower in the zone than Lowry there, but Frolik is a right winger. In any event, he's a winger, and I know he's lower, but that's Lowry's guy. Lowry hits him, he's got to follow him to the net as the last man
it's
back.
It's not good enough to just make the
as
hit.
Being the center.
Yeah. You got to follow through after the hit.
So I mean, majority of the blame there goes, and you could argue, you know, hits Pavlik goes in, whatever. It's a one timer. And Lowry loses his guy, and there you go. Yep. So, I mean, again, you're talking about mistakes, right? Like, just Clipson backs up. Lowry follows his guy. I mean, that game is, of course, mistakes. We could do that for every goal in every game, for every team. But, you know, two mistakes there that, to me, are preventable. You know, especially going back to the first one, like, you know, don't you know Drouin and Stamkos are on the ice? Like, if you know that they're on the ice, why are you trying to keep the puck in? Play it safe.
Jets made it 2-1 just under a minute later at the 5:33 mark of the second period. Brian Little gets his fourth, assist to Toby Enstrom and Andrew Ladd, the Jets' first power play goal of the season at that point.
Yeah, you know, Enstrom, you know, talk about some defensive question. We'll talk about the fourth goal, but Enstrom played really well offensively today, I thought, and this was a great play. He takes the puck through the neutral zone on the power play, makes a quick pass to Ladd. Ladd kind of tips it up to Enstrom. Enstrom follows up down the boards, curls around the defenseman, and makes a nice pass to Little, who's just playing off of Brewer. Brewer's not the fastest guy. He's certainly lost a step. And he makes a pass from the left corner right to Little. Little catches the puck, takes a nice wrist shot. Really good goal. You know, simple goal, but effective. And I like that the Jets doing that on the power play, coming with speed through the neutral zone.
The good times were not to last long, though, as Tampa Bay regains their two-goal lead at the 12:52 mark of the second period. This is a power play goal for them. It's Vladislav Namestnikov, his second of the year, assist to Andrei Palat and Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah, so Enstrom's on this one as well. This is like what happens here, I believe, is that the second part of the power play, the first...
That's right. It's the second power play unit at this point.
Which really didn't get out there much. I mean, the first power play unit was playing a minute 30 almost.
You have Stamkos on it. You usually give him a little extra time.
And you have to be cognizant. You have to know who's on the ice, right? Because the first power play unit plays a different style and system than the second power play unit. And that's not uncommon in the National Hockey League, although...
Play to your player's strengths.
You play to your player's strengths. So the Lightning set up in a different format. And the goal here for the Lightning is to move the puck... this goal's originally Palat's goal too. It was to move the puck from left side to right side. So you see Jason Garrison gets the puck at the top of the blue line. Scheifele's kind of on him, and he moves the puck down to Kucherov, okay, who's on his strong side. And Scheifele kind of stays a little bit too high because they're kind of in a diamond form. Now Scheifele stays too high, and because of that, there's a big gap.
In the middle of the ice.
Yeah, and Enstrom doesn't rotate up high enough. So what happens is Kucherov sees that on a strong side, so you know he's not going to shoot, so you really should be playing off of him. And Kucherov makes a pass through the middle of the ice, and what happens is Palat steps into it. Enstrom doesn't get out quick enough, and then not only does he not get out quick enough, but he doesn't block the shot. The puck gets through, bounces off Namestnikov, and goes in.
Yeah.
So the fundamentals. The Jets were leaving the middle of the ice wide open today, and we were talking about it. Remus was talking about it with us, and you as well, Drew. And they made every pass in up the middle. It was like you're watching playing NHL 2015. I mean, it was unbelievable.
For the listeners, it's the cross ice pass from one side of the ice surface to the other that was there all night Lightning.
All night, yeah. So, I mean, that goal again, you know, preventable in terms of execution. And I realized that they went from playing against a different style with the Stamkos line, far more dangerous, granted. But that's not the Lightning's ideal format, you know? Like, when Kucherov is getting that puck, you know he's not going to shoot it. You have to be watching for the seam pass. They just weren't aware of it.
Especially given where the guys are lined up on the ice and the strong side, weak side, and everything along those lines.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I don't know. A lot of mistakes.
Tampa Bay made it 4-1 at the 18:02 mark of the second period. Palat gets the goal. It's his third of the year. Assist to Tyler Johnson and Nikita Kucherov. This is it's a very nice play by Tampa Bay.
It's a beautiful play.
What are the Jets doing on this one?
Tip pass, beautiful pass by Kucherov to Johnson. Johnson comes up the ice, makes a beautiful pass. Palat, fourth goal, fourth one-timer for Tampa Bay. But here you see Adam Lowry not taking his guy. His guy is Johnson. Okay, he's a center. The wingers don't take that guy. That's his guy in the middle of the ice. He lets him go by.
They had just lined up for a faceoff at center ice.
And the puck gets passed to Kucherov, who makes a nice tip pass, but Enstrom goes at Kucherov in the neutral zone. And so unless he knows Lowry's got Johnson, which Lowry doesn't, and he's a young center, then why would he come up in the middle of the neutral zone to try and pressure that play? If really, what's the risk? He gets the puck and dumps it in?
Well, that's what you and I were talking about before, and Remus too. We were saying, what's the reward for Toby Enstrom to pinch in that place? There isn't one. There's only risk.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about high risk, high reward. There's no real reward there.
In a better structured system that is more effectively played, and
then Lowry
will has his guy, and they take away the gaps, and he's got to ice the puck or put the puck in deep there. I get that.
Yeah.
Now that was a nice skill play by Tampa too, but you got to know who you're playing with and who you're playing against.
That's right. You have to know who your line mates are, and that you got a rookie center. And
that's right.
There's a potential
and skilled
for
players on the ice against you.
There's a potential for that rookie center to get beat and not know exactly what he's supposed to do it's his seventh
or
game.
Or just not do what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's his seventh game in the NHL.
Right.
4-1 at the end of 40 minutes. The third period saw the Jets score a goal.
Well, they bring in Hutchinson.
Michael Hutchinson comes in to replace Andre Pavlik. I didn't think Pavlik's play was the problem tonight. I mean, the Jets' defense hung him out to dry.
You're going to see 4 out of 18, 4 goals on 18 shots. But, I mean, you know, they're passing freely up the middle of the ice. 4 goals are all one-timers. Like, come on. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Pavlik's been pretty solid, I thought, this year so far. And obviously, it's been 6-7 games now, but I thought he looked sharp to start the game, and then they were just getting opportunities whenever they want.
No, I understand. I understand Gunnar Hutchinson maybe try and give the team a little bit of a boost after 4 goals.
Hutchinson was good, but does it really matter?
It doesn't really matter. Blake Wheeler gets his third of the year, at the 10:19 mark.
He's been awful lately, and it was good to see him get off the schneid if you're a Jets fan, because he hasn't been very effective at all.
Yeah.
And he worked hard on that goal.
Like, that was right. This was a will goal. He wanted this goal more than the other guys on the ice.
Too late, but he has a will goal.
Yeah.
And he chased the puck down from behind the net, game in front of the net, got the puck, flipped it up, and surprised Bishop, who seemed to be screened by his own defender. An impressive, I think it was Garrison, I believe it was, on the... No, Garrison wasn't on the ice. It might have been Gudas or...
It was Gudas, and it was Strowman.
Yeah, it might have been one of those two. It was one of those two guys. Anyhow, you know, good effort and all that, but a little... just too late.
It's 4-2 at this point, and, I mean, the Jets have been... you know, haven't shown much in the third period.
No.
But, you know, you make it 4-2. It's a two-goal game.
We talk about the Byfuglien fight, too. I thought that inspired the team for that first goal.
Sure, that was early in the second period. Byfuglien and Gudas went at it. Both of them big boys, and Byfuglien made Gudas look like a small, amateur.
Well, you know, I like to see the passion from Buff. I like to see that.
Yeah.
God knows a lot of other guys on the team are sleepwalking through these games. So
Byfuglien played well. I thought he had a good game.
He was passion.
He was into the game.
Yeah, played with passion. He cares.
Yeah. The success wasn't there for him, but at least you noticed them. A lot of other guys you didn't notice on the ice tonight.
Again, they created opportunities. They created a lot of opportunities tonight.
But they created those opportunities in the first 20-25 minutes of the game, and then a switch flipped, and they were pretty invisible for the final 30. And that's, the cliche 60-minute effort. Again, it was not a full 60-minute effort.
Yeah. I mean, you get down, Tampa's going to play on transition too. But overall, just mistakes.
Too many mistakes for the Jets tonight, and you're not going to beat a...
And we had said, you know, kind of a system, you know, you expect from Maurice a little bit more system play and structure. And I thought you started off last year, you saw that at all. But now they're just a disaster again. I mean, Claude Noel's got to be laughing.
Seriously. He was to Gary.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got to be laughing because he sees the same team and he got to call mostly the same players. And, you know, we had said it many times on our show. I mean, I thought Noel's a guy who's going to get you the exact same points as exactly what you should expect based on your talent level. And, you have the same players on the ice. Basically have the same roster. I mean, it's basically the same roster for 3 years and 7 games.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I mean, the results haven't been there for 3 years, and it's time.
They're 2-5 now. So, I mean, it's, and they're going on a 4-game road trip against Rangers, Islanders, Devils, and Blackhawks.
9 of the next 11 on the road.
Maybe that helps them. I don't know, but like, I don't see a cohesive unit here. I don't see a team that, I don't see a cohesive team.
Well, we'll talk about.
When I interviewed Marty Biron on that Saturday Spotlight a couple weeks ago. He said some of the teams that were terrible he was on were very cohesive. I don't see that here. This might be a terrible team, but it doesn't seem like a close team to me.
We've talked about. We'll talk about it on a legal curve more so than right now, but it's getting closer and closer to finally pull the parachute on this team and change the core as we've talked about for years on end. In terms of time on ice, Jacob Trouba led all defensemen 25 minutes and 18 seconds. Among forwards, it appears as though it was Brian Little at 21 minutes and 53 seconds. The Jets are next in action Sunday afternoon against the Colorado Avalanche here at MTS Center. We remind you, tomorrow, 12 noon, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We'll be joined by Drew Spivak of ESPNDenver.com, Michael Russo of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and on Saturday Spotlight, we talk to former NHL head coach, former Team Canada head coach, and current head coach of the Western Michigan Broncos of the NCAA, Andy Murray of Souris, Manitoba. For my colleagues Michael Remus and for Richard Pollock, Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg doing yeoman's work in gathering audio in both of the dressing rooms. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. We'll see you at 12 noon tomorrow for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.